This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody. I am Freddie Bell, and this is New Beginnings. Of course, on the show this week, right off the top, we'll give you 8 steps to recover from home if you happen to have COVID-19. We've got details from the World Health Organization. Lybel Sternbach is here with financial advice for you. Joel McKenzie and I discuss career. Plus, we have news of the week, the lighter side of my desk, the buzz, and so much more. It's New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and our show starts right now. Hi, everyone. As we begin our show this week, I want to share with you 8 steps that you can take for home-based recovery and safe care for a household member who has COVID-19. This is coming from the World Health Organization. Number one, isolate that person with COVID-19 and maintain distance. The person who has COVID-19 should stay in a separate room. If this is not possible, they say they should sleep in a separate bed. They should use separate bathroom facilities. If this is impossible, their movements around the home should be limited to essential purposes, such as using the restroom. Also, they should keep at least 1 meter away from anyone else. Number two, open windows to bring in the fresh air if you can. The World Health Organization says it's critical to have good ventilation in the room of the person with COVID-19 and any shared spaces. This means having fresh, clean air coming through as much as possible by opening windows where it's safe to do so. Number three, designate caregivers. There should be 1 or 2 people dedicated as caregivers for the person with COVID-19, and they should have no underlying health conditions that could put them at risk for severe disease. We're giving you the top 8 things you can do for home-based recovery and safe care for a household member with COVID-19. Here's number 4. Wear a mask and maintain hygiene. Whenever the person with COVID-19 is in the same room as someone else, they should both wear disposable medical masks, also known as surgical masks. When caregivers leave the room of the infected person, they need to remove their mask and be sure to wash their hands. The infected person should have designated dishes, towels, including a towel for drying hands after washing them, and bed linen, and these should not have been shared with anyone else. Any surfaces that are frequently touched by the infected person must be disinfected every day. The room of the person with COVID-19 should be clean and disinfected regularly and thoroughly at the end of their isolation period. Any waste generated by that individual, such as tissues, should be considered infectious and disposed of safely. Number 5, treat any symptoms. And these symptoms of COVID-19 may only last a few days, with the most common being fever, dry cough, and fatigue. Other symptoms are less common and may affect some patients, including the loss of taste or smell, nasal congestion, red eyes, sore throat, headache, muscle or joint pain, different types of skin rash, nausea or vomiting, diarrhea, chills, or dizziness. The World Health Organization says follow the advice of your healthcare provider about what medications to take. And this may include medications to manage the headache or fever, and home-based care on the advice of a doctor may even include Paxlovid. Number 6, support mental health. Testing positive for COVID-19 can bring up complex emotions for the person infected as well as their household members. It's understandable to feel scared or anxious. There are many ways to take care of mental health and well-being during this time period, including talking to someone you trust and taking part in safe activities. Number 7, prevent the spread of COVID-19. No visitors can be allowed during the home-based recovery. And number 8, know the red flags and seek help early. When someone is recovering from COVID-19 at home, their condition should be monitored at least once a day. Signs that may indicate a worsening condition depend on the age of that person infected. For adults, they may include lightheadedness, shortness of breath or difficulty breathing, chest pain, or dehydration. Children can also appear suddenly confused, not interested in eating, or have blue lips or a blue face. Infants and babies can have an inability to breastfeed. In any of these cases, seek urgent care. The World Health Organization sharing these ideas with you. Home-based recovery can play a vital role in making best use of the health system and ensuring facility-based care is available to people who really need it. They say by following these steps, people who test positive for COVID-19 but have mild or no symptoms and are otherwise healthy can safely recover at home, and their family members can safely support their recovery at the same time. I'm Freddie Bell, and this is New Beginnings, and our show continues right now. In our never-ending effort to find valuable information and insight in all areas, it's time to bring in Cassie Crandall with this week's Three Things.
Thank you, Freddie. Yes, it's Cassie with my three things. Thing number one this week, have you been to the Great Minnesota Get-Together yet? That's right, Minnesota State Fair. Your last chance will be this Monday, Labor Day, September 5th. Don't miss it. Also happening at the State Fair this weekend, on Saturday, Diana Ross is performing. What a great opportunity to see her. That's right, Saturday night, Diana Ross. Don't miss the Great Minnesota Get-Together. Last chance this weekend. All right, and my thing number two this week. Did you know that September 3rd is National Cinema Day? And what that means is $3 movies all day at any theater, even IMAX theaters. That's right, Saturday, September 3rd. Enjoy. Thing number three. If you know me, if you listen to me at all, you probably know that I'm quite often sharing quotes. Well, I do have a quote this week, but there's a little story behind it that I'm going to share. And that is that I have a few friends right now that are going through some difficult times, depression. Some of them have post-traumatic stress disorder and dark traumatic things that have happened to them that they're dealing with. And what I've learned from them is that we can be really supportive of them, not by labeling them as victims or pitying them, but by encouraging them that we're with them through this and we're going to help them get better. And I saw this quote and it really spoke to me. You are not the darkness you endured. You are the light that refused to surrender. For New Beginnings, I'm Cassie Crandall.
Thanks so much, Cassie. We'll talk to you again next week. As New Beginnings continues, three people are dead, including the suspected shooter, after a grocery store attack in Central Oregon. Police say they responded to reports of an active shooter at a shopping center in the town of Bend, 3 hours southeast of Portland, on Sunday night. The shooter reportedly entered a Safeway and shot one person at the entrance, then moved further into the store and shot and killed a second victim. Officers found the apparent shooter dead inside with a rifle and a shotgun close by. Officials say the investigation is still active. A Maryland appeals court says the D.C. sniper must be sentenced again. Lee Boyd Malville was 17 when he and 41-year-old John Allen Muhammad killed 10 people during a three-week shooting spree around and in Washington, D.C. Muhammad was executed in 2009. Malville was sentenced to life without parole in Maryland and Virginia before the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that in some cases, life without parole for youthful offenders violates the Eighth Amendment. And an NFL rookie is recovering after being shot multiple times during an attempted carjacking or robbery in Washington, D.C. The Washington Commanders said running back Brian Robinson was in stable condition after sustaining injuries that are considered non-life-threatening. Head coach Ron Rivera visited Robinson and said he was in good spirits. Robinson was a standout at the University of Alabama before Washington selected him in the third round of the NFL draft earlier this year. It happened this week. I'm Freddie Bell, and more New Beginnings is on the way.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151, 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell, and now it's time to talk finance with Libel Sternbach. Libel is an Amazon best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and Authenticity. Libel, welcome back to New Beginnings. How are you this week?
Hey, how are you doing on this fine day?
I'm doing really, really well, and I'm trying my best to stay cool as we start heading slowly toward the fall weather. And it makes me think, you know, State Fair and people doing all these other different jobs and so forth. A friend of mine called it a side hustle working at the State Fair. And I'm going, side hustle? I know what a side person is, but what is a side hustle in retirement?
So a side hustle is a more of a millennial term, and I have no idea where it comes from. All I know is that this idea has appeared in colloquial speak of the idea that you should have a side job, that nobody should just have just one job, that you should have multiple jobs, and that everyone has a side hustle that they're doing on the side. And the FIRE movement is very big on this. So the FIRE movement, which is financial independence and retirement or retire early. So they're very focused on how do we get to retirement as quickly as possible? And our show is about how do you get to retirement when you're over 50, right? Because the name of the game changes after when you're over 50. And when you're actually, when retirement is a real thing, the rules change, and it's no longer a hypothetical, and you may not have a high-tech job and a huge amount of money in the bank account. So how do you actually retire? And so one of the things that the FIRE movement says is, you know, retirement isn't about that you stop working. It's that you become work optional, that you can choose who you work for and when you work for so that you can take on the jobs that you want to do. And so they have this concept of a side hustle. And so they say, you know, when the market goes down, instead of, you know, living on less, you get a side job to help supplement your income. And I very much like this concept, right? I like this concept, not in the fact that I think that retirement should be filled with work, but that if you do have the ability to work and you have the desire to work, that there is that ability to say that, you know, maybe I don't have all the amount of money saved that I need saved in order to retire. Or maybe something will happen during retirement. And instead of me trying to plan for every unforeseeable circumstance, let me put in a little bit of wiggle room in there and say, if something happens and I need an extra $20,000, I'm going to get a side job. I'm going to figure out how to make some extra money on the side, right? I'm going to use the skills that I have acquired in my long life that I have monetized to this point. I'm going to figure out how to monetize it in retirement on my terms. And it's something that in today's day and age is uniquely possible that you just couldn't do before.
Very interesting. We're talking about side hustles this week with Libel Sternbach, a side hustle in retirement. I've been reading about articles about the baby boomers, Libel, and there is an information or professional drain on businesses because a lot of the baby boomers are retiring at about the same time. So would an effective side hustle be to go ahead and retire and then contract yourself back to the company that you worked for at one time?
Oh, absolutely. Consulting, absolutely. I love consulting. So consulting was actually my first job. And I am a huge fan of consulting. And specifically, I'm a huge fan of consulting for those of us with emotional intelligence and the ability to carry on a conversation with a human being. And I don't say that lightly, because it's something that in talking to people, they very much underestimate that skill, right? The skill of, I can go into a room with other people who have differing opinions of me, right, than me, and who have different needs, and I can understand them, and I can figure out what it is that they want, and I can then help them figure it out using the knowledge and experience that I have, right? And so it doesn't matter what job you had. Let's say you were a janitor, right? 50 years you spent, you know, as a janitor for the school district, right? And then you retire, you retire at age 70, okay? 50 years, you right out of school, 50 years you spent being the janitor for the school district. So you know, inside and out, that job.
Right. Right.
New person gets hired to be the janitor for the school district. They don't know a tenth of what you know, right? The amount of knowledge and experience that you have of how to keep a school district clean and how to keep it run and stocked with supplies and all that and navigate all the different personalities, that is a unique set of experiences and skills. And that is something that you can't just teach to someone overnight. And it's not something that someone just gets from being on the job 5 minutes. That's something that you can monetize as a consultant, right? You could consult with a new person who's managing the janitorial staff or the, you know, whatever staff it is that you're, you know, whatever company, whatever job you have done or the multiple jobs you've done over your career, you providing them an hour of your time can save them a week or two of frustration or months of frustration because you've been there, you've done that, you've navigated those troubles, and you can save them that heartache, that frustration of going through that again. Not only that, but you have the ability to work with people, and the newer generation does not have the ability to work with people. And so it's very hard for businesses to find someone who can actually interact with multiple people and can explain things and understand things.
Very interesting. We're talking with Leibel about side hustles. So that's a pretty strong indictment on the younger people who might be listening to you this weekend, Leibel. But are there other types of side hustles that you might recommend in addition to consulting?
Yes. So in addition to consulting, there are a lot of online and or gig type of style jobs where you can freelance. So there's things like Fiverr, where you can literally, the concept of the website is you post on there what you will do for $5. And obviously you can't make a living on $5, and that's not the concept of the website. The idea is you post on there what you will do for $5, and then obviously there's a lot of things that can be added onto that $5, right? And so you have things like, oh, I'll write an article for 100 words of $5, or I'll come up with an idea for an article for $5, and then I'll write you the article for $25, and I'll write a 1,000-word article for $25, right? Or you have people who will record your voicemail for $10, right? You know, there's a whole range of things, and it's literally anything that you have that you don't even think is a skill, but it's something that you are capable of doing. You can monetize that, whether that's with Fiverr.com or, and that's with two R's, by the way, Upwork.com, Freelancer.com. There's Mechanical Turk, where it's like literally it's just you keep doing this repetitive work over and over again. So because we have all this machine learning, right, all this, you know, like Alexas and this vision AI where they're like the computers classify stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, in order for these machines to learn stuff, they need to be trained by people. And guess where they're getting their people?
Ah.
Online. And you could be one of these people. And you get paid, you know, whether it's like 5 cents for every image that you classify or it's, you know, by the hour. It's not going to make you rich, but it may pay for your steak dinner or it may pay for that cruise trip, that cruise trip once a year, right? Or it may pay for that upgrade to go from, you know, to the luxury cabin that you want. And these are like these little things that you can do out there that either can earn you a little bit of money or they can earn you a lot of money. There are a lot of little things that you can do. You can even open up a business, right? You've worked your entire life for someone else. Well, maybe you work one day a week for yourself, doing the same thing that you did for someone else.
That's really interesting. So it's interesting. You've mentioned that you can do all these side hustles, Fiverr.com, Freelancer.com. All of it is web-based. How can you protect yourself against malware or someone stealing your information? How safe is it to really be out there and to determine whether or not that person who's reaching you for the work is real or if they're a bot or something?
So the benefit of going through a site like Fiverr, Freelancer, or Upwork is that they vet the people you're going through, and there's a certain amount of protection built into it. So you need to, learn the sites that you're going through and how you get protected through the site so that if you do your thing, you'll be protected. And most of the way it works, right, at least like with Fiverr or Freelancer or Upwork, the person who's purchasing, the other party, right, who's requesting the work, they pay Fiverr. And now that money is in escrow. And then the money goes from escrow to you once they sign off on it. So it never, at no point is there really an opportunity for you to get screwed in that way, as long as you abide by the terms that you agreed upon and you fulfill it to the standards and expectations of the site. So make sure you understand what those are and you follow those requirements and you'll be fine. And there are a lot of, just Google how to make money on Fiverr or how to make money on Upwork. And there's lots of tutorials out there that will show you how to do it. Really, it's not that hard. It's just, just follow the process.
You have a lot of information on yieldsforyou.com. Would information about side hustles I will be there as well?
Yeah, and I'm actually putting together a class, a course specifically on side hustles to walk you through the different types of side hustles out there and, kind of how to navigate that and, explore and see what works for you.
We're talking with Leibel Sternbach about side hustles. It's a new term that I just learned this weekend. So what do you think is the biggest challenge that retirees might face when they're trying to start this side hustle, be it consulting or going to one of the sites that you just mentioned?
So I think there are the two biggest challenges or the two biggest fears that I have when someone starts going into this world of side hustle work. Challenge number one is you immediately become prey for all of the unscrupulous people on the internet. And there is a whole world of vultures out there, these predators who they sell this dream of making money online and owning your own business. And it all sounds really amazing, but it's all kind of like smoke and mirrors. And it all, they'll be like, oh, you just need to invest $150. And they get you all emotionally involved in it. And then you start investing money in it, and before you know it, you're $20, $30, $50, $100,000 in, and you still haven't made any money. Mm-mm. Because either it's a pyramid scheme, or they're just teaching you like little bits and pieces, and they don't really know how to do it, and they're just teaching you to teach others to teach nothing, right?
Oh,
like,
no.
Yeah, so that's number one, is like, that's my first fear, is that you become prey to those things. So you really want to, if you're going to go into this online work, right, do it through a reputable thing. Don't try to start your own business, because starting your own business is starting your own business, right? If someone tells you, you're going to become a franchisee online, right, and we're going to give you everything you need to start your own business and you're going to make a lot of money, right? That sounds like something that's too good to be true. It's too good to be true. But if they tell you, oh, you're going to go on Fiverr.com and I'm going to show you how to go on Fiverr.com and you're going to sell your recordings of your voice, right? That's like, okay, you can do that. You don't need them to do that. That's something that's reasonable, right? And if you want to pay $100 to have someone help you do that, that's okay.
Thank you, Leibel. We look forward to hearing from you again next week. Leibel's website is LeibelOnFire.com. That's LeibelOnFire.com. And more New Beginnings is straight ahead. We're really having a great time this weekend. I hope you are, too. It's time for the lighter side. It's pretty obvious. Engaged couples fight over money. The only thing surprising about this survey result is that it seems too low. 55% of engaged couples argue over money issues while trying to plan a wedding. Of those that fight, the main reason seemed to be the lack of funds for the type of wedding they would like. Another hot-button issue during the wedding planning process involves family. Close to a quarter of couples fight because their parents were giving them money for the wedding and then thought that they gave them the license to help plan it too. What was your family or your fiance's craziest wedding request? And here are four things you probably didn't know yesterday. There are 300,000 items in the average American home. Until 2012, it was okay to sell magic spells and potions on eBay. Australia has over 10,000 beaches, and Texas is the most popular state to be tattooed on someone, according to the National Association of Tattoo Parlors. As I continue with obvious things, women do more housework. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, on average, women spend 47 more minutes on housework than men do every day. The gender gap in housework exists in nearly every configuration of heterosexual households. Women do more housework when both partners work, when they make more money than their spouse, in households where both are not employed, and when both are retired. It's wacky, but it's true. A woman trapped a thief in her car. A 54-year-old woman in Germany shocked the would-be thief into submission when she ran screaming and trapped the man in her car after seeing him rummaging around in search of stuff to steal. The woman had just unloaded a small refrigerator from her car when she saw a man had opened the door and was kneeling on the back seat. She ran up screaming, pushed the man in, and held him there. He was so shocked, he didn't even try to escape. And can you guess what is the only United State with no straight lines in its border? The answer? Hawaii. Just for fun this week on New Beginnings.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
As our show continues, we now welcome our hiring expert, our career expert, just a wonderful individual, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. They have a knack of turning candidates into contenders. Joe McKenzie is with us each week. Joe, hello and welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Freddie Bell, for the kind words and just the meaningful work that we've put together for the last 8 years in helping our New Beginnings listeners prepare for any kind of career situations or changes that they may be having.
Yeah, time flies when you're having fun. How can our listeners reach out to you?
Oh, they can certainly visit my website, and that's rippleconnects.com. I've got some timely, relevant articles on there and links to anybody that's looking to change. Or they can call me directly, 763-438-1621. Be glad to be a resource to them in regards to their careers.
All right. Last time when we were together, we were talking about boot camp for job seekers. You outlined that the big hiring months are January through March, and you were mentioning that right now is the time, these next 90 to 100 days, to get ready for the big time hiring months of January through March. And so as we do that, we want to talk this week about how you stand out in the hiring process. Joe, how can job seekers help themselves to be that seemingly obvious choice in the hiring process?
And they very well may be that obvious choice, but if you don't take some specific methods to stand out, then that person that may not know you, you may not stand out. And that's why it's so important to have that, you know, you have to, that proof by example. You have to be able to differentiate yourself from someone that may have similar backgrounds, similar experiences, similar accomplishments. The Twin Cities has a great talent pool. Transferable skills, different experience levels. We have to be sharp. We have to find a way to stand out. And it can be as simple as just formulating our own questions so we can understand some of the needs and the accomplishments that the employer needs. You know, I've long talked about Lou Adler's book, The Essential Guide for Hiring and Getting Hired, as the go-to book. And it's because You turn the hiring process and the interviewing process on what the employer needs to accomplish. And how do you get that out of them? Well, you get that out of them through asking good questions, doing your own research, and then setting up your own process for having first round of interviews to final rounds of interviews, really drilling down on what they need to accomplish, because the interview is really about the employer finding someone that can accomplish something that they need to accomplish on a, you know, by when, essentially. That's what they're looking for.
So how do you gain that knowledge on what needs to be accomplished in a company in which you've got no experience?
Well, you can certainly go into a situation in a hiring situation by having your own questions ready to go. So often we get ready to answer the employer's questions, but we don't spend enough time on formulating the questions that we should ask the employer. And it could be as simple as, with this position that I'm interviewing for today, what do you need me to accomplish in the next 12 months for you to see this as a successful hire? And that's the Lou Adler approach to this. And if the employer talks about, well, we need to get this website or this database or this sales division, you know, at 30% of quota, or we need to put we need to have this new website and the functionality up in the next 18 months. Now you can really differentiate yourself, because now you curate specific examples, relevant examples that may help them understand how you can deliver those same results. So you see what I did there, Freddie? It's you turn that interview now into a conversation about what that employer needs to accomplish. And then you listen closely and you formulate what are the most relevant examples of that, what you've done. And those are the types of questions that I think differentiate yourself. So ultimately, we're trying to stand out in this process, but really understanding what that employer is trying to do will help you to formulate your answers. And that will essentially, because of that step you take, will help you stand out from someone that's not really even caring. They want to get that job, but they really don't even understand that, hey, we need to get this sales division at 30% of quota. We need to get this database up and running in the next 18 months. For someone that asks those types of questions that I referenced in regards to Lou Adler's approach, that now it's a different type of conversation. Now this is how you stand out. You might be able to keep drilling down, because it's not so much where you've been. It's now, how do you position yourself as a valuable resource to what they're up against?
It's really interesting. Everyone, we're talking with Joe McKenzie, and we're talking about how you stand out in the hiring process. I've talked to no less than three people in the last 2 or 3 weeks, and we're talking about the hiring process, Joe McKenzie. And it's interesting, these individuals are sharp people. They're showing up at the interview. In one case, an individual was wearing sweats and a T-shirt and a baseball cap. Another, the person was wearing a wrinkled shirt and sports shoes. And the third individual was similarly dressed. However, none of the three had on a business attire. None of the three had a sport jacket. None of the three had a woman's business attire. Yet they went in for the interview. Has the environment changed that much that says that our appearance at a job interview is not that important?
Well, to answer your question, I think you always put your best foot forward. And if you want to stand out in the hiring process, you want to show a proper level of respect and seriousness for that position. And so therefore, dressing appropriately, but even above what you're interviewing for, because if you're truly wanting to stand out and you want to show your seriousness as an applicant, that's really that first impression is critical to what the next half hour looks like. Because if the employer is distracted and doesn't think that person is really taking this new opportunity that's in front of them seriously, then you've got a lot of work to do to try to sell what you've accomplished in the past. So I think first impressions will always remain critical in the eyes of the employer. And so therefore, anybody that's interviewing should really understand that first impression is how you get how you get in the gate there and start talking about some real meaty things about what you want to accomplish.
It's interesting. I would suspect that because I've had, maybe this is just anecdotal, but I had these conversations, and apparently these three people stood out in the minds of the employers. Is that the way that you want to stand out?
No. You want to stand out for professionalism. You want to stand out for taking the time to know that this is a great opportunity. So therefore, that's why I'm here today. And I want to learn more about this opportunity. And I want you to see me as a potential employee that is going to represent this company wherever I'm at. And so that has always been the approach that I've taken with my clients. Dress appropriately, even then some, you know, collared shirt and ties. And many interviews do exist on Zoom or a virtual format platform. You still have to make sure that you present yourself well in regards to how you want to approach this new opportunity.
So presentation hasn't changed that much in the hiring process over the years. You still need to dress as if you're there for business in business attire.
Absolutely. And here we're talking about standing out. You know, stand out by having a good first impression, so you can then you can get to those questions about what really needs to be accomplished, and that first and foremost will get you past some of those early minutes in the interview and focusing on what's the task at hand.
As you mentioned from Lou Adler, good people always ask good questions, but in order to be heard, you need to look the part as well. What is one takeaway or two takeaways that you would have us remember this weekend, Joe?
Well, just simple things like develop your own questions now, refine them, get good at asking questions about the real job needs. And so therefore you can respond and curate the specific examples that are relevant to what that employer wants, and just be ready with the STAR method. Clear, concise answers also gives you a very good snapshot, Freddie, on how you think. Can you answer something in a clear and concise way? And that STAR method, that situation, task, action, result, that well-known method that's out there, that will allow you to deliver on clear, concise answers for those questions.
Makes sense. Joe, we got to leave it right there. You do some fine work at Ripple Connects, I can tell.
Yes, we do, Freddie Bell. We turn candidates into contenders.
Hi, everybody. This is Freddie Bell reminding you, you can follow me on Instagram at Freddie Bell Radio. It's the buzz, and Jamie Foxx is impressing fans with his Donald Trump impression. The Oscar-winning actor started trending on social media after he broke out his Trump impression on the Rap Radar podcast. Foxx was there to promote his brand new vampire action comedy, Day Shift, which is now streaming on Netflix. The film also stars rapper Snoop Dogg, who lobbied Trump to commute the prison sentence of Michael Harris, a co-founder of Death Row Records. Foxx used his Trump voice to call Snoop Dogg a great person. And this week, Pope Francis wrapped up a trip that had fueled speculation about a possible resignation announcement. He was in Italy, the burial place of Pope Celestine V, one of the only pontiffs in history to resign. Pope Francis in the past has mentioned that he might step down if his health further deteriorated, but he made no mention of any such moves during that visit. He did, however, praise Celestine, saying that by giving up power, he had demonstrated strength and humility. That's the buzz. I'm Freddie Bell, and this is New Beginnings.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
Unity South Twin Cities is located at 7950 First Avenue South in Bloomington, with two services each Sunday at 9 and at 10:30 a.m. Senior Minister James Stacy is sharing a lesson today entitled Night and Day. We join in progress.
When I was in ministerial school, we had a course on special services. And of course, that included funerals and memorial services. And so we were given some services from many years ago, and the one I was given to study and describe, I actually don't remember the person that wrote it, but I remember the opening line as people gathered for this service. We will not waste one more minute in needless grief and suffering. And then it moved on to praise the ongoing life of the person who had passed. And I thought, well, that was rather harsh. Think of the family members and friends who've come to the service. Their heart's heavy, and they've just been told what they're feeling they shouldn't feel. How they feel is wrong. To acknowledge their loss and grief is incorrect spiritual practice. Charles Fillmore said we must clean and care for that wound and prepare it for healing. Then we can move into the affirmative, action-oriented thinking and action. Now I want to conclude. Well, actually, I want to say a number of more things, but I won't. I will conclude. As one of my teachers used to say, bring it to a graceful conclusion. We have many gifts through our Unity history, but we have many gifts right here at Unity South. And I've always admired the artists and those that took a Unity symbol from our Association of Unity Churches, which was a dove. And they created it with their own artistry. And for me, I'm always amazed looking at this symbol and thinking of what I presented from Ken Wilber, a religion that ascends and descends to comfort and heal us. When I see the form of that bird, I see what I want to see. Some days I see it soaring up into the sky. Other times I see it descending into my world and my life to bring me encouragement, hope, even healing. Other times it soars off into the infinite to inspire me with powerful spiritual ideas, to imagine the infinite and eternal world of which I am a part. Symbols are most powerful when they allow you to see what you need to see. So, my friends, let us take a moment in the silence. Turn your attention within. Close your eyes if you choose. This is a practice you can do throughout your day, throughout your week, in even simply a minute or two, to turn your attention to your breathing. Notice that beautiful rhythm as your body expels air and then draws it back in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Just a few moments of feeling that rhythm can direct your attention once again to balance, to wholeness, in any area of your life. You can ask the Spirit, show me where I'm off center, out of balance. Have I spent 95% of my time this week dwelling on myself? Or have I spent 95% of my time concerned with others, We all need a balance. In my quiet times, if I spent the majority of time considering the infinite good of God, and not enough time praising and giving thanks for the divine life in every aspect of my physical body, every aspect of my soul that thinks and feels and acts. Spirit, help me find balance in my life. In the balance, I will be healed, prospered, vitalized. I will become a greater blessing for myself, my community, my world. Night and day, you are the one. You are the power I can find beneath the moon and under the sun. In the daytime of my soul and the nighttime of my soul, God, you are always there. Christ, you are always present to lead, to guide, to help me on the path to the greatest good for my life and for my world.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the Senior Minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
You want to be in a place where people know your name. The message is positive and you feel fulfilled. Come be inspired at Unity South Church. Unity South is a non-denominational spiritual community with roots in love, acceptance, and prayer. We believe that you have an indwelling spark of divinity. Come visit us this Sunday for the interactive discussion at 9 a.m. or the regular service at 10:30 a.m. Unity South is located at 7950 First Avenue South in Bloomington. A stimulating and uplifting Sunday school for preschool through 18 years old. Unity South Church, embracing, loving, empowering.
Where everybody knows your name.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody. I'm Freddie Bell. Let's stay connected on Instagram, Freddie Bell Radio, and hit me with a tweet at Freddie Bell. And did you know that it is National Lemon Juice Day? When the sun is blazing high in the sky, National Lemon Juice Day comes along just in time to bring a refreshing squeeze to just about anything. It celebrates that tart drop of lemon juice in your cooking, beverages, or freshening up the world around you. Why lemon juice? It's because we enjoy watching a baby's face crunch up at their first taste of the lemon juice. Well, we do, but that's not the only reason. In cooking, the acid in lemon juice enhances the flavors. Add lemon juice to a salad dressing, and suddenly your salad goes from ho-hum to wow. In a sauce, the addition of lemon juice will transform it from being something that drowns a meal to something that brightens it. This one ingredient can save an entire dish. The same applies to beverages. Lemon juice can add punch to teas, soda, and even water. Today is National Lemon Juice Day. And here are today's words of the wise. Live your truth. Today's wise words read, Live Your Truth. You can find this and more in my brand new book entitled Words to the Wise, available at Amazon.com. And also you can find it at my website, FreddieBell.com. Follow me on Twitter at Freddie Bell and connect with me on Instagram, Freddie Bell Radio. We'll be back with more after this. Well, that's our show for this week. A special thanks to Leibel Sternbach and Joe McKenzie for stopping by this week. And I hope you took down notes of our 8 top things you can do if you happen to have COVID-19 and you're recovering from home. If you don't have that information, tweet at me at Freddie Bell, or you can drop a line anywhere on my social media, especially at FreddieBell.com. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend. For everyone who's been a part of this one, I'm Freddie Bell saying goodbye for now. And remember that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.